Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission of the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing your experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We don't get many tweets. Tweet at us. Come on.
Every once in a while we get tweets.
Okay. I don't put them in the notes, but...
Thank you so for tweeting us. Maybe that's my fault.
Thanks for tweeting us. All right, we'll be playing the Glast mission. So tweet us about Glast from Halo 5 on the next episode. If you like what you hear and you'd like to support the show, visit Podcast Evolved on Patreon. This episode, we're debriefing the Blue Team mission from Halo 5.
What?
That's my team.
I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
Linda is best girl. Fight me.
Nope, Kelly.
Fight me. Fight. Kelly fight would you. Be dead. She gets sniped in the head.
She's too fast. Too fast for snipers.
Last mission was Osiris. A series of mysterious forerunner events had devastated human colonies and triggered Captain Lasky to order Jameson Locke and his fire team Osiris to infiltrate the planet Kamchatka and retrieve Dr. Catherine Halsey. I like how it's retrieve. It's retrieved. Like she's like a...
an asset.
Yeah, she's an asset. She's like somebody's toy. She claimed to have information about the attacks, and she was using it as leverage to be rescued from Jule and Dama's covenant. Spartan Buck, Tanaka, and Vale followed orders and burst onto the planet like invincible superheroes amidst the heated tussle between the Covenant and Prometheans. Osiris encountered a Kraken, fought through new models of Prometheans, assassinated Jule, and reclaimed an eternally grateful Dr. Halsey. This mission is Blue Team. Master Chief and Blue Team are deployed to investigate a lost Oni research facility named Argent Moon. Scavengers have been looting the site and selling its tech to Jule and Dama's Covenant for use in the war against the Arbiter. While clearing out the riffraff, Chief takes a tumble and has a vision of Cortana. She directs John, Kelly, Fred, and Linda to an event that's soon to take place on Meridian. Then, a bunch of Covenants show up, and the Spartans are forced to scuttle the space station. The date of this mission is October 23rd, 2558.
Yay!
Let's do this opening cutscene. What happens?
Blue team. That's it.
Blue team are so amazing.
Well, it doesn't start with Blue Team, though.
It doesn't. We just get kind of mixed up. So it starts off with a beautiful shot of Infinity. It looks good. It's Infinity. It's amazing.
Very good.
It's to be expected. You have the fire team Osiris on their Pelican coming in with Halsey. There's a great shot of the Pelican coming into the bay, and it's massive and it's active and there's loads of stuff going on. So again, very impressive. I'm always impressed with the scale of Infinity, and when they kind of show us things in it, it always looks cool. Mm-hmm. So you have an awesome looking Sarah Palmer marching up with Lasky, greeting Osiris coming off, and they have like Halsey.
She is awesome.
She is awesome. Well, she's okay. She looks awesome.
She said it.
No, didn't edit it out. Let's restart the show again. I'm gonna edit that bit out anyway. It's fine. So like Halsey pretty much straight away, just like straight up to Lasky. What the hell's going on? What are you doing? She says, "What has she done? How far has it gone?" She's pretty much giving out saying, "I gave you my position 3 weeks ago. It took you 3 weeks to get here and get to me. What the hell?" So she's very pissed.
She's almost hysterical. Then,
like, yeah, she is. She's very like she's unhinged a little bit here. And then like Palmer just grabs her and leads her off like a child, which I thought was hilarious.
With her one arm.
With her one arm.
Yeah.
And then you have like Buck kind of comes up beside Locke and says, "What do you think that's about?" And Locke says nothing.
He doesn't say anything.
It just says nothing.
That was a missed opportunity there, I feel like.
It was a bit. The screen kind of fades to black. And when it opens up, you have Master Chief holding his helmet in his lap, looking at it. And he kind of turns it over and like rubs his thumb very lightly over the port where Cortana's chip would be. I thought that's just an amazing way to intro Chief from where we last saw him.
Yeah.
Which was, in terms of the games, it was at the end of Halo 4 when he was, like, staring out into, like, well, the cutscene had him, like, getting his armor taken off and stuff, but you saw him kind of staring out into space, kind of thinking about Cortana's last words to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we're introduced to him here now, just kind of like putting his helmet back on. They're on a pelican. They're moving in and they're obviously on a mission. It kind of kicks off of what they're trying to do. They're going to Argent Moon, which is like a large research kind of space station. And then you have introduced to, for the first time in the games, really, like we've seen them in all the lore, but it's such a cool moment to have Blue Team. Yeah. You've got Fred, Kelly and Linda, all fully voiced, all with unique personalities, except for maybe Linda, who doesn't have much of a personality to begin
with. Excuse me?
That is who she is. Like yeah, I said,
that's explained in the books.
Yeah, yeah. There's other stuff that kind of fleshes her out a bit more.
But this team has been around since the beginning. They've been around since 2001. Spartans. This is the first time we're seeing
these are Spartan badass twos here, doing what they do best, working as a team together. I mean, even like Blue Team without Chief, like we mentioned in our first episode, we're doing lots of things without Chief themselves. So they've come a long way in what they've achieved, and they go on in the other books to do different things. So like Halo Last Light and Retribution, so that are amazing set pieces for just what Blue Team have been up to in modern day. It kind of really
is a weird aside though. Like Blue Team hasn't always been like Blue Team, or like hasn't Chief been on Red Team at some point? Like they kind of like change teams a little bit here and there, right?
Yeah, they move around.
Yeah,
anyway. A little bit. Yeah, yeah. Essentially, this is the team now that identifies as
this
Blue
is the
team.
Core. Yeah,
yeah. Fred is concerned about Chief and his mentality that they've just been running missions constantly back to back, not been any break. This these like story threads were picked up in Escalations a good bit, which I thought was very interesting, of just like how Chief deals with his grief was just throwing himself into work constantly. There were some good things in Escalations about like Lord Hood being really pissed off that he told Chief to like stand down, and Chief just fucked off and started doing missions by himself. Just you know what I mean? Just essentially just taking orders and taking missions and just going. It cuts in. The Pelican is moving through an asteroid field. They found Argent Moon. There's signs of a hostile activity, but she looks intact. So they're pretty much, their mission is to go in, eliminate hostiles, and secure this space station. It's just so cool. It looks slick. You see John kind of piloting the Pelican in. He kind of turns it around, powers it down, moves into the back, and then you have like the team together fully interacting. Kelly giving me his weapons. She has a weird accent. We'll talk about it later. Krista doesn't like it. I didn't really notice it. Linda is all business. And then you have Fred kind of steps up to kind of check in on Chief. Asking, do you know what I mean? Are you okay? Are you sure you're good? Chief is just ignoring. Well, Chief is being Chief. He's taking it all on board. And pretty much this Blue Team fallout. The team launches. They just pretty much jump out of the back of the Pelican. And use their kind of boosters to kind of move around. Now, like in the previous introduction to the other Spartan team, there's an amazing theme using playing through this. It's slightly subdued, but it is the Halo theme. It's the 117 theme. And it's so good, as you can imagine. The team are moving through EVA, through space. They're going through the asteroid field. It kind of cuts
perfectly
to inside Argent Moon. You see this?
Too.
Yeah, they're in formation. It crosses the Sangheili on Argent Moon. Kind of giving out about the Ungai are being crap. He's like, oh, Ungai, throw them out the airlock. Who cares about them? Cause the Blue Team, they line up, they pull out all their weapons, and you can see them kind of lining up for the bay, their entrance. They take all their weapons out and start shooting, shooting their way through the glass, and then when they hit it, they smash through. They all land on the ground, but their jets, they look amazing, all weapons out. Sangheili's turn and see them all pull their swords out, and then the atmosphere starts getting sucked out, and you see all the Elises getting blown out the window, and the Spartans just using their maglocks and their boosters to stay put, and they just like dodge the elite as he lunges at them. It's pretty hilarious, and they all just get sucked out the airlock.
They don't even use a bullet on these guys.
No, that's what's so good. It just shows the team standing there. I'm gonna face the black, and then what I love is what I said in the previous episode of they even talked about it, showing the difference between how the teams operate, the Spartan 4s and the Spartan 2s, and you see their intro is just kind of like very slick, no chatter, no messing
completely
about.
Completely efficient.
Totally brutally efficient, and it's just amazing. Do you know what I mean? It's just so cool to see that team.
It's like these people have been together since they were kids and don't even need to talk to each other.
There's loads of that too, which is pretty great. But having said that, through this mission, it is pretty good in terms of like how having the team talk to themselves, to talk to each other, which is good because Fred is a bit of a chatterbox, which is good because you don't have an AI anymore to talk to you. So you have your team, which is good because you finally get the blue team in the game talking to each other.
Fred's always been like a wisecracker chatterbox. Like when he gets nervous and stuff like that, that guy just talks. And Chief is like just sometimes just can the chatter, guys, okay?
Yeah.
I like, there's not a ton. I mean, they're not super duper chatty, but they tell you enough. Like they're doing a lot of the exposition that we've talked about in Halo. It's like, you know, telling you like Chief's like, what's up, Chief? You know, why are you so depressed? And then they're
why do you have depression?
But they drop like lots of interesting pieces, and we'll cover some of that as we go. But they're more or less business, you know. They're more to business than the other teams that we've seen. All right, so now we're in this Argent Moon, which is a research facility type thing. It's like super secret. Yeah. And they're you'll see a couple things here. You'll come across like this stealth vessel that you see here in a little bit as you're going through the mission. Like they're doing some interesting Oni stuff here, and the Covenant have found it. It's supposed to be hidden, but the Covenant have found it, or I think Jackals might have found it originally. I don't know
what actually did happen. Jackals did find it, but there's been this ship has been missing for 2 years, even from Oni.
Is it a Oni ship or just
it's a
ship?
It's a station.
It's a ship. They refer to it as a station, but it is one big ass ship. Like,
okay,
hold on. I actually had it open there to find out exactly what it was.
While you're looking, the entire background of like what's going on with this is revealed in the data pads that you get.
Yeah, oh, right.
The whole story's so there. We'll talk
also, it's interesting. Like, the Argent Moon is in Halo Retribution, and it kind of ties in. I'll talk about it a little bit later at the trivia in terms of how they tied that into that book and how they tied the event of the data logs into that book as well, which I thought was cool. Intrepid Eye. So Argent Moon is a research and development station in service Unis Navy's and Rucker service as a shipboard station. Sorry, there's an AI on this that you learn about. It is called a station, but it's a big ass. It's got big engines on it. Do you know what I mean? Like it moves. Mm-hmm. It's not in a stable orbit around something. So essentially, it's been missing for 2 years, and the Jackals found it and they sold the information to Jumundama, and then that's why his Covenant are here.
So. Yep.
And that's also how you found it,
I think. And it's I love that this mission is good. I'm a big fan of this mission. I love the setting, I love being with Blue Team, and it gives a little bit of a mysterious mystique to it, right? So you're especially when you start to find the logs, and we'll talk about those at the end, and then you find some dead bodies around and it's very dark. They do a good job of making this feel like it is like a lost, you know, station/ship in the middle of space. So it feels really good climbing through.
It's got cool horror vibes, which I liked about it.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yeah, which is a little bit back to roots of Halo, because like there's some horror elements in Halo with the flood and all that sort of stuff.
Especially CE.
Yeah, exactly. The first encounter, so you're climbing through, you're finding a couple of things of intel, you encounter some grunts that are arguing with each other, which is good. And, I don't think we mentioned it in the last episode, but grunts speak English again. They didn't
so
speak
do jackals
before,
and elites.
Mm-hmm.
Understand them. Interestingly enough, throughout this entire mission, like, if you're really listening, like, a lot of the aliens are talking about Jumundama's death, his assassination, mm-hmm. which is really cool.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah. They talk about that straight, like, does it bit later on where more Covenant show up and they start telling everybody that Jewel is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good little piece of a little drop there. Again, just all the exposition that we're used to, but that also just kind of puts you in place of where you are, because like the mission we just played is directly, you know, before this mission. Anything else to add here? I guess as we're just doing our initial exploration. Do you guys go straight away? Do you try to hang out and talk to Fred at all? do you just kind of cruise through? What are you guys doing here right away? You're finally Blue Team, right? That's a cool thing. Chris, so do you just head straight forward, or do you take a second to like realize what you're doing finally?
So, in these mission debrief, like when I'm going back and playing it, it's mostly business. But you know, when I first played the game, I spent a whole lot of time in every single area, like trying to listen to every bit of dialogue I could and trying to find the data pads by myself and stuff like that. But This particular playthrough, I just ran and started doing the stuff I knew I had to do.
That makes sense. I guess, David, how are you feeling the first time? Do you remember?
I'm loving it every second of it. I'm turning around. I'm looking at everybody. I'm looking at the armors. It's so
trying
cool.
To interact
I'm like,
with
look,
them.
Linda has her sniper rifle. Kelly's got a shot. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, yes. Nornfang, baby.
Dude, you get to spawn with Nornfang if you pick Linda. It's amazing.
That's meant. I think Kelly's shotgun is called something. I'm blanking on what it's called, though. I know she has a special shotgun.
It's not Oathbreaker. Yeah. It's something else.
Something like that. I think it's faster.
Fred has like an assault rifle or an SMG or something like that.
DMR, I think.
Okay.
I think he has a DMR. Yeah, it's cool.
And Chief's got his assault rifle. Yeah, so and it feels good because you're in a space station, and this is, you know, this is a first mission, I guess, as Chief in Halo. We're used to being, like, on some sort of a space station or something like that, or, like, a ship. That, so it feels familiar to do, this is the first thing that we're doing as Chief. And we're fighting Covenant, which also feels good, and you're able to assassinate those grunts right away, and then you turn around the corner, and then you... You know, you meet some elites and some jackals and everybody else that you're used to fighting. And, you know, overall, we've talked about Halo 5 gameplay, how we like it. It's a great evolution for Halo for us. I know other people
we're also,
have certain gripes. But
all of us stay pretty modern with our video games as well. Like, we're all playing modern shooters on the side other than Halo and stuff like that. So, for us, it just feels like a natural progression. But I can see where someone who... is only playing Halo games and some of the old school games is kind of like feeling weird about the changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing that's nice too, I guess, it makes sense lore-wise when you're picking up more UNSC weapons and you're seeing, you know, weapon lockers and things like that. So you get to use UNSC weapons quite a bit, as opposed to the previous mission, you're using a lot of Forerunner stuff, a lot of Covenant stuff throughout. The first thing you do is really you find this terminal where you're locating I think what are you locating here? You're locating
like a map. It's like the data center, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're kind of loading up the map. Like Chief says, when you get there, Chief is like, load up the route and the current population or something like that.
So you're trying to find central control. I mean, really what you're trying to do is just clear out. I mean, the original mission is to clear out this ship / station, because you want to retrieve it or reclaim it for the UNSC. So that's the goal, is to get rid of all the Covenant, and then we're gonna probably bring either bring the whole ship or just reclaim the station itself, so that the Forerunners can't scavenge it anymore, or excuse me, the Covenant can't scavenge it anymore. Use it against this.
Well, like I said, like as you learned, like one of the things being done on this station is they're rebuilding a new kind of stealth ship, and they reckon that the Kigar and the Covenant are stripping it for parts and stuff. So, like, you're like, okay, we cannot let them get out with this. So, like, your objective is very much to clear out and retake the station. It's a cool premise.
Also, Blue Team and Prowlers just fit really well. Blue Team always is on a Prowler.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, clear out this initial group of Covenant, and then you actually head down, you know, you see the map, and then you head down a little elevator, and then you get a burst through a door, and then there's, like, this shipyard, which is really well done, because it lets you use the verticality of not only the map, but just kind of your new Spartan abilities, and you're able to clamber around, and there's lots of places to use your, ground pound if you want to do that, but the map here is really well done. It is one long, narrow hallway, more or less, but it's not super narrow. It's wide enough for you to kind of, you know, leverage the team, the four people that you're playing with. That reminds me, we talked about it last time. How often are you guys playing the missions, the campaigns with four people? I don't think I've ever played really with four people. I play with three, play with two, but not really often am I actually playing with a full four the way it was intended.
Very rarely.
I'm sure I tried, but I can't remember. Maybe two is the standard. Rarely three.
And it's funny because we host the show together. We never really play together.
Yeah, we're terrible people.
It's just different time zones and stuff like that.
Ireland and all that stuff. So we rarely play together. But I'll try to get a couple groups for the first two missions here. I played with a coworker of mine, and we had a good time. So it was fun to get through and play, because these are, I mean, really Halo 4 the campaign. It's interesting because there's no split screen, but the way that they built it with the team of four, they intended it for it to be played with four people, four humans rather than the AI.
A lot of games intend you to play with other people, and you don't, like Borderlands.
Yeah.
It's like, play with your exactly. friends. It's like, what, I'm playing all by myself.
This area, this shipyard area, it introduces you to the Hydra. Do you guys use that?
I love the Hydra. Oh my god.
So I don't love the Hydra.
What does it shoot out? A bunch of
like mini
plasma?
Missiles?
Yeah.
Mini missiles.
It's missiles or is it little plasma grenades? Or is that something
you're
else?
You're thinking of the plasma launcher. The Hydra is an actual, shoots a little rockets. Yeah, that they can right. lock on. You can lock on to multiple targets.
Yeah, that's a cool addition. I agree. And that's big in Warzone and other modes as well.
Yeah, and like multiplayer and stuff like that. It's just very versatile. Mm-hmm. It's very fun. It's not a one-hit kill, but it can do a bunch of damage. All of the variants in like Warzone and everything like that are super duper cool. Some of them are like immediate lock-ons and stuff like that. So it's really great.
Yeah. What are you guys using here? I tend to kind of go up and kind of what I'll probably do is I go up front and then kind of go off onto the side, try to flank the Covenant, and I'm using my UNSC weapons as much as possible. I did end up grabbing a storm rifle at some point and playing around with a needler, things like that, but mostly leaning on the UNSC weapons if I can find them. What's your approach here, David, on this opening area?
Nothing crazy. I can't remember what I did. I picked up the Hydra and I tried to use it. I kind of feel like you have to use it because it's in the mission. And there's a lot of shotgun ammo in this mission as well, actually. So I was using the shotgun a lot. And so very often I was trying to like get up in close. I mean, I used all the rocket ammo and then mm-hmm. There's a DMR up on the left, so I kind of ran up the top, kind of grabbed the DMR, sniped mm-hmm. a bunch of dudes, and it was really satisfying, to be honest. Before
DMR
like
feels pounding. About the same, right? Like, I don't think there's many major differences.
Yeah, it feels.
I
really
think
good,
it feels
though.
Strong. Like it feels hefty. Like there's a solid weight to the shots. Like it's cool.
Well, I mean, it was good in Halo 4, so it felt, you know, it felt still good. I don't think they made a ton of changes. Maybe they did.
I think the weapon sounds are all really good in this one. Like everything sounds just phenomenal.
The needler sounds a little different, right? It's kind of like a little higher pitched, maybe.
Yeah, the needler's also like pretty much a power weapon in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and then there's a bunch of jackals in this area too, where you can like I think I used the Hydra to kind of like just pop those jackals because you can lock on them and just pop one, and then I'll lock on and take them out. The jackals are the they're like the Spec Ops ones where they have the masks on them.
So cool.
Yeah, they're cool.
Lots of snipers in this area because it's a big long area, but there's lots of different approaches. Krista, are you doing anything else? Are you staying high?
I'm staying high. Immediately grabbed the DMR, of course. I played around with the Hydra a little bit to kind of pick off some of the elites, and then there was a bunch of shotguns, so I was kind of running DMR shotgun a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really good. I think everything feels so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's lots of areas to explore, too. So this is the big little bit of frustration for me is because you had that Artemis before in the previous mission, and you know there's intel in here somewhere, but now you have to seek it out and find it and by exploring all over the place versus just being able to ping the intel here and there. So I think that's why I ended up slowing down towards the end of Halo 5 with all the intel, because on certain missions you can't use your Artemis anymore, and you're kind of I'm more focused on like getting through the story itself than going around exploring. But I mean, it makes sense that you don't have that tech because you're a blue team, and it makes sense that you would have that tech as Osiris, but it takes longer to collect that, or just go online.
Yeah,
and,
just look it up.
Watch a walkthrough.
Pretty easy.
Yep, you're all good. So clear out this whole area. I think you can just sprint through it if you're playing on a certain level, probably not on legendary, but you can sprint through it to the end. The next area isn't gated at all, but you do get to this little catwalk where you're running across, and then as Chief, this hunter comes out and causes some problems, and then
oh my gosh,
he runs out.
They look so cool.
And smashes the catwalk, the ramp that you're on, and then Chief just goes tumbling into the blackness. What happens in the blackness?
He has some kind of fever dream.
Well, we get a little cutscene. So Chief wakes up in a cave, And you're kind of like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
He's trying to contact Blue Team. He doesn't really know what's going on. He kind of looks around and sees a kind of little blue light. And we know what blue lights are in Halo.
It means
something. So Chief walks towards. It means only one thing. He hears Cortana saying something. He touches it and Cortana kind of appears to him, like her silhouette against kind of a white background. And she says, John, the reclamation is about to begin. It begins at Meridian. So John's kind of like, what the hell is that? And then well, she kind of throws her arms up.
It's not just a blue light because it's her data chip.
It's her data chip. It like disappears and then like she appears and starts talking to him. And then a big shape comes out of the ground, big blackness. You kind of get the rough kind of silhouette of it. And then John kind of passes out a little bit. He falls down. And when he kind of wakes up, Kelly is like beside him asking him what's wrong, what's up. He's back on Argent Moon and he kind of stands up.
Yep,
and Chief just kind of goes.
She talks about Meridian too. That's the other thing.
She says Meridian, yeah, and she says like something about. Did she actually say the word domain? I think she did.
Yeah, the domain is active.
The domain is open or something like that.
Yeah, domain is open. Meridian is next, is what she says.
Meridian is next. So John goes, she's on Meridian, and the guys go, who? And he goes, Cortana. So
and then immediately he's like, we got to go find Cortana.
Yeah, right. Mission has now changed. Mm-hmm. Well, the mission has changed anyway because I think the Covenant have shown up at this stage, like all the ships. So immediately, John goes to standard Halo tactic of, okay, blow everything up so they can't take it.
Asset denial.
Yeah. Asset denial. So your objective changes. But anyway, I thought it was cool. Clearly, Cortana is using the domain to like send Chief a message. And it becomes obvious later on based on kind of where the story goes. What her intentions were.
Absolutely. So we get a little taste of Cortana. I think this was used in some of one of the marketing playthroughs too. You're marketing the game. So they had a fun time talking, figuring out like, wait a minute, Cortana's dead. Anyway. So we're now like in these tunnels. And I like this area, this next tunnel area. You get to use your flashlights, pop it on. Little Halo CE feel to this part. And the grunts here are hilarious. They have some funny things to say. I don't have anything up, but listen to the grunts. They're walking around complaining about stuff. And then you can assassinate them. You can sneak up on a couple of them. There will be some suicide grunts to deal with here too. So it's not uncommon to die as you're wandering around the bowels of the Argent Moon. But yeah, and then you get some elites, some camo elites to fight as well. So yeah, I mean, I like this area. Krista, are you a fan of wandering around the dark?
Oh yeah, I love it. I love this area. They give you some kind of nice ordinance. It's creepy. It's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. You're being stalked by the hunters as you go through, which is really cool. Like every once in a while, everything's like all shaky, and everyone's like, what?
The hunters.
Yeah. I like what they did with the hunters. I really liked it.
Yeah, they made him creepy and strong again. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. They do, I think Fred does ask him a little bit more about Cortana and being dead and things like that. So so listen to that dialogue and it's pretty interesting. But continue on. You eventually come out of the caves, or I guess the bowels. And then that's when you see the Covenant pop in. And they're coming out of slip space. And then you're like, all right, let's just blow this thing up. as per usual. Then you go down an elevator, and that's when you get to see the hunters like form in front of you.
It's so cool.
Really
cool.
Oh yeah, so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Very good. You get to load up a little bit before then, but then you go down the elevator. And let's see, is there anything fun to pick up? I guess I probably just used what I would, maybe just grabbed an AR.
Some shotguns.
BR. Did you guys grab anything? Some shotguns? It's pretty standard fare, I think.
I still had the Hydra at this point,
BRs
too.
BRs around and stuff.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Nice. That's good. So, yeah, you see the hunter worms on this, I think it's the elevator that you're on, or just the window. You kind of see them crawling around. And that's a little bit of the tie-in with Halo Nightfall, which I think they did a good job there. Of fleshing out the Let Go Low. But you see that hunter actually stand up, hammer on the windows, and then both doors open. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Go deal with this guy. Because you don't really know what to expect at this point, especially playing as a single player. Hunter fights are a lot easier, I think, than...
Oh, no.
No, they're a lot more difficult. You don't think so?
Oh, really? I think they're way tougher.
Especially when you kill the first co-op.
I was playing co-op, and I feel like it's easier to flank them because they're just focused on one or the other. It didn't feel as bad. So you think they're just more difficult?
I think they're way stronger in this game.
Yeah, on solo, they also prioritize the player, so it can be really hard to see back. And also, like, once you kill the first one, the second one goes into beast mode.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is kind of different for the hunters. Like, usually they might growl, but these ones actually get, like, a boost and kind of fire faster and stuff.
Did they add, in Halo 5 here, did they add where they knock away the grenades? Or have they been doing that for a while?
They've been doing that since Reach.
Yeah, it's a bit more pronounced here in Halo 5.
Yeah, because I feel like I was chucking some grenades there, and they're just batting them away, and, like, it's no big deal.
They do a lot. They chuck away a lot more grenades in this one, I think.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're fun to fight. You do your do-si-do as usual. But, yeah, again, I think my most recent memory of playing this was co-op, so we didn't have too big of an issue with the hunters. When you
playing
have
solo on, playing solo on Heroic, it was challenging. They killed me a few times. I did find it, like, there's a big, heavy splash damage on their shots.
Oh, yeah.
And they have two types of shots, where, like, they'll do one big fusion shot, but they also have that rapid-fire cannon as well. That kind of slightly homes in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You have this giant room to wander around, and it's just really just
it's
for this hunter fight.
You can go up. Oh, it's a lab. There are a lot of places to hide.
Fun note, there's an achievement you can get in this mission by skipping this fight, going straight to the end and breaking your way in and skipping them, and then they kind of hunt you, quote-unquote, and will come fight you again at the end of the mission. You get an achievement for doing that.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
I know I got the achievement, but I don't remember...
Same. I don't remember doing it, but I have all the achievements for Halo 5, so clearly I did it.
Mm-hmm. So what you're really trying to do, we mentioned that the objective is now changed to scuttle the ship, to just blow it up. We're trying to find the reactor of the ship, and we're going to blow the reactor. And so that's what we're trying to find now. And you punch this one button, and then the floor kind of opens up, so you kind of pop down the floor, and then... then we proceed into finally the actual reactor room. We go through a little bit of tunnels. We hammer through we do our Spartan charge through one of the walls. And then you get to overlook. It's a cool room here. As you get to overlook, you see some jackals down there, like, having a coffee, hanging out. And then you can see a bunch of elites stomping around off in the distance. And they won't react to you right away until you really engage them. But let's talk about this room in general. Krista, what's your approach in this big, wide-open room here?
Oh, a lot of DMR stuff. I feel like later in this... Is this the one where more hunters come later in the mission?
Mm-mm. No, this is the...
That's the very end.
This is the control room area.
Okay.
Isn't it? Is that the one you... Yeah.
There's a button at the very end that you gotta hit, and then that'll do the reactor.
There's a bunch of elites at the end with turrets and stuff shooting
Grenades, DMR, I had a shotgun, and I picked up the turret and played with that a little bit. Mm-hmm. That was about it. That's kind of my tactic.
You can get up to the top. There's, like, a center area that's, like, right above the reactor that you can get to. I think I tend to go down low for the most part. Either low or on. There's, like, a walkway on the left that I'll hang out on and try to snipe guys from over there. But there's enough enemies in here that it's difficult. David, what's your approach?
I pretty much go to the right most of the time. I don't know why. It's just I go right. So
down to the right.
I try and ground pound down. I think you can stay up there and snipe and stuff. I think I remember a legendary staying up really high, sniping as much as I could. I think it was tough enough, actually, to be honest. I kind of went too far forward too fast. And, like, enemies come down the ramp to you, and they can kind of swarm and kind of flank you pretty quickly. Yeah. Again, you can't overly rely on your AI team here. So, like, I give them a few orders and stuff like that, but most of the time I'm using them for revives. I ran out of ammo real fast, so I was picking up anything and everything here pretty much to see what I could. One tactic I did find quite useful is using a plasma pistol to take down the shields and then using my team to take down the elite. That worked pretty well a few times. Getting Linda to get the snipe essentially on an elite with no shield. So that was kind of cool.
The thing is with when you tell your team to focus on one enemy, that means everybody focuses on them. You don't get
exactly
one per team member. But, you know, you use it the best you can, and I think it's a cool mechanic. I think we mentioned it earlier, but at this point, I think you can hear some chatter here and there. I think maybe that's what you can hear the jackals talking about, is that Jewel and Dama is dead when you're in this room. But Linda mentions it also before, once that she hears that on the Covenant chatter. So that's a known thing now, and it's kind of just, you know, it's a, more or less an afterthought for Blue Team. Like, they don't really care. But we'll continue on to this whole room. So at the very end, there's some turrets, so clear out the turrets, and then once everybody's dead, I think this is another one you probably can sprint to at the end and just hit the button and open the reactor. But there's off to the left in that control room area, there is a button. There's some UNSC weapons off to the right too, before if you want to grab those. And then is the reactor? This is always unclear to me. So like, there's this big open, I don't know, it's an elevator eventually that drops down. Is the reactor like on top of that thing, and you're going down like with it? You guys been able to pick up on that at all?
No, I don't really know what was going on here at all.
Yeah. It's not super duper clear. I mean, they talk about it, but it's just not visually, it's not super clear what's going on. But you bring the whole team, so you hit the button, and then you say, okay, the system actually itself, so the ship is decided, oh, this is a bad thing, let's not blow this reactor. So yeah, the ship is going to try to cool this thing off and essentially stop what you're trying to do. So we decide to ride the reactor down into the cooling system, and now the objective is to take out the cooling system in order to allow the reactor to actually blow up.
Yeah.
So badass.
So
just cool. Yeah.
You're just like, I'm all right.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it wasn't super, like, I don't remember it, like, because I've been replaying it and following what's going on a little more closely, that it all makes perfect sense. But it's kind of that factor, what you're trying to do is easy to miss. Especially because when you get down to the next area, you hop down, and now it's Banshee time. So now we're just flying around in some Banshees.
On the second mission?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right away. This whole room is pretty cool. You got phantoms down in here.
Loads of rocket launchers, like the real one.
Power weapons, right, exactly. So there's two spots. There's like, I think they're called venting controls on either side of the room. So you got to go hit buttons on both sides. And then once you do that, all these vents open up. And then you need to fly around your Banshee and you know, more or less shoot these vents. And there's, you know, a number of them around the room. But you have to do that in order to proceed. So have some Banshee fun. Krista, how are you feeling about this Halo 5 Banshee?
Oh my god, I love it so much. It's fast, it's sleek. I think the cannon's really nice. I think the regular plasma bursts are really great. The plasma cannon actually locks on a little bit, kind of follows the Banshees.
Mm-hmm.
The splattering's really nice. The Banshee tricks are really nice. It's just great. I have a lot of fun in this. You know, most of the time I just don't blow up anything and just go around murdering people. It's pretty good.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, eventually you can probably... I mean, there's a lot of enemies in here. Eventually you can probably clear everybody out. I don't know if there's an infinite spawn in here or not. But
there isn't. No, I don't think so.
Okay, I usually like just go for the cooling vents as quickly as possible and just kind of get out of there. I don't spend time clearing out the entire thing. David, how about you?
I have great fun in here. I don't tend to use the Banshees that much. I like to fight my way around, especially because there's loads of power weapons around. A lot of rocket launchers. I had the Hydra at this point, but it's actually pretty weak against Banshees. Definitely on Heroic anyway. I struggle to take one down, even with all the tracking and homing going on. The AI is smart enough to kind of boost away and kind of get the turning circle tight enough so that your rockets can't follow. There's a lot of phantoms that come in and drop off reinforcements, but it's a cool open area. It's really fun. It's cool. As you say, I like to do most of it on foot. I think most of it you can do on foot. And then when you have to fly, it's quick to kind of like use it and then blow up the turbines when you need to. It's cool. I really enjoyed this area.
I mean, I think Krista brings up a good point. You know, she was being sarcastic, but you know, we get to do Banshees right away.
Yeah, it's pretty cool,
yeah. Right? Yeah, usually we build up to Banshees, and they're not until like the middle of the campaign or the back end of the campaign where we finally get to use them.
343's like, you guys know what you're doing.
Yeah. This whole mission, I mean, there's a lot of variety. And replaying it, I forgot that you got to do this whole Banshee thing. I was like, oh, this is this part. This is good. Yeah, variety in this whole mission is great.
It's a long mission, too. Like, sometimes I, like, I was playing this mission wondering, okay, is this the Hunter mission or the Banshee mission? I'm like, oh, wait, it's both.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So clear that area, you know, blow up the vents, get the hell out of there. There's this kind of this light shield area. You can't actually bring your Banshee through. It'll crash into it. But once you get out, then you can walk through to the next area. And now we need to get the hell out because we the ship is now going to blow up.
Hooray.
And yeah, right. That was according to plan, kind of according to the new plan. But we kind of descend further into the station, and now we see this prowler. We walk by this prowler that's just hanging out, and now we have this whole battle underneath the prowler, which is really cool. Really fun area here, too. The set pieces in this whole mission are good. But we first need to go to the very back of the room. So, you know, you can clear out some Covenant and fight them and whatnot, or you can just run all the way back, and then you need to activate the launch of the prowler. It needs to warm up a little bit. So go hit a button back there, and then you're just waiting for the countdown, essentially, or count up, however you want to say it, to warm up the prowler and then finally pop in. I'm trying to remember. Do we eventually just have to clear out everybody?
Yep.
Is that, and then the prowler is ready once everybody's dead?
Yep.
Or is it an actual timer?
Yeah. No, I think you just to kill everybody.
Okay. And there's the PA. The PA kind of talks to you throughout the entire mission, where there's, you know, the AI, the onboard AI is talking about things, but it's giving you a countdown. Like, once you kill a certain number of enemies, it says, okay, now it's, you know, 10% or whatever, 25%.
I don't think that's an AI.
It's
I
not.
Think that's just the announcer program, because the AI, pretty much, as Crystal will reveal a little bit later, he's
gone.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Cool. Approaches, anything fun in this area, David, that you're doing?
There's a saw here, so I'm doing lots
of
fun things.
It's way in the back, right?
Yeah, there's a few different places. There's loads of weapons around here, which is great. Like, there's a rocket launcher. There's a rail rifle. I use that a couple.
Rail gun, yes.
The rail gun.
Rail gun, yeah. I found that.
I actually like it in Halo 5 more than I did in Halo 4.
It's really fun.
Generally there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, like, I'm not a very accurate person, so single-shot weapons, typically, I don't use that often. But I do like it in this game. It's quite nice.
You can explode those hunters pretty
easily. Oh, yeah, that's what I used on them.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Satisfying for it. I'm watching a walkthrough as we talk, but I like the jackals, how they're jumping up and around and whatnot. I mean, it's just a cool, you know, visually, they did a good job with how they're jumping, hopping around here and there. They're easy enough to kill, but, you know, just the fact that the Covenant is just kind of disseminating itself across and chasing after you and trying to stop you. This room is really a fun fight for me.
And also, it's interesting that they changed the Jackals up a little bit, that they have stuff like storm rifles. Usually Jackals only had needlers, beam rifles, carbines, and plasma pistols. So now they can have, like, more heavier weapons like the storm rifle. Also, Jackals can melee you now.
Oh,
they can hit you.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't do that before.
No?
Interesting. I don't think, you know, because I'm usually a lover of the carbine. I didn't use the carbine much in this mission at all.
Neither did I. I didn't have
a
lot of...
it's here and there.
Like, you don't find a box with them in it. And I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a box with them, I'll definitely grab it. But, like, if it's just one carbine, usually it doesn't have a lot of ammunition, so...
There's a fuel rod that you can grab eventually. I think one of the grunts has, or a couple of the grunts have them.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Fun with that. This is a good area. So eventually you're going to clear out everybody, and then you're going to hop in this prowler. What happens now? What's this cutscene all about?
Cutscene is pretty much where the game turns and the story kind of reveals itself. So you had, like,
are we going to hunt the truth now?
Yep.
Is that what we're
pretty
do?
Much.
Perhaps. So. What we had was Osiris on a mission that completed, that kind of wraps up the previous kind of games and books and stuff like that and brought us into this game. And then you have Blue Team on a mission that kind of wraps up and immediately takes off to something else. So John kind of powers up the Prowler. You see, like, the team getting on. The kind of Argent Moon starting to kind of explode. John contacts Infinity and lets him know, we're scuttled it. He's reassigning Blue Team. We're going to Meridian. Got contact from Cortana. Infinity pretty much says, no way, there's another team already been prepped for that. So, like, the Blue Team are like, what the hell's going on? So they're being ordered to go back to Infinity. John pretty much says, "Yep, nope, fuck that." Turns it off.
Well, and the other
blue team.
Say the line.
The other thing
say
is
the
they already yeah. know. They already seem to know about Cortana, where she is, and that these yes. things are happening, and didn't tell Chief. So he's immediately like, "What the hell, guys?"
Yeah. So this is the big thing. I mean, all the marketing was going towards about a lot of it, and even like Hunter Trude and stuff was all about John going against UNSC. What the hell happened there? Like, he's the biggest hero, and now he's like mm-hmm. not. He's on the run. He's being like shamed and kind of stripped down. And you can see that a little bit in Halo 4. We talked about like the intro sequence of how they were trying to discredit John very much, even the Spartan 2s. They wanted him not as this like beautiful big hero. They wanted him stripped down. So anyway, this is it. This is what turns John pretty much against the UNSC. He goes kind of rogue, quote unquote, to go and get Cortana. So you see blue team pretty much saying, "Yeah, you're not doing this by yourself. We're going with you. Tough shit." Mm-hmm. And obviously Chief would rather go by himself to do this, but blue team pretty much says
he more or less says that like you guys don't have to do this, but they're like, "Yep, we're coming with you."
Yeah, and Freddus is like, "They can't court-martial all of us," and runs up the ramp. So it's
kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then you have like this amazing ship. And now, when this originally happened, and I saw like the Prowler launch, and a blue team on a Prowler, hell yeah, give me this Prowler. Let me do things.
We gotta fly things in the last game.
Yeah, but we don't get to. And this Prowler is like, it's a smaller class ship. We've seen like Prowlers have different types of kind of Prowlers. They're pretty much like stealth ships that only use. This thing's kind of small, perfect for like a fire team, and it's, you know what I mean, it's slick, it's amazing. As it shoots out, the ship explodes. You can see it like taking the Covenant ships with it, and then like the guys just activate the stealth and just fade away. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah. Very good. The podcast talks about like another event, so I'm trying to like piece it together right now. It's probably the wrong time to do it, but there's some other things that like Oni is trying to I don't know if it's all Oni, but it's, you know, they're trying to say maybe Chief isn't that great of a guy because certain things arose. But like, as you're playing the game, this game proper, like this is the moment where you're kind of hunting the truth now, like where you're kind of chasing, you know, now Locke, and there's this conflict now because of this moment where Chief is like, "No, I'm going to do my own thing now."
Mm-hmm.
Negative Infinity. I don't
negative
like
Infinity.
There you go. Any trivia? Anything else to say about the mission?
Yeah, a few bits and pieces. I mean, you know, the amazing. I like this mission. I like being on a ship again, fighting Covenant. Mm-hmm. They made it kind of scary. They did a good job. It was pretty damn dope. The trivias. So, the Blaze of Glory shotgun can be found on this level. It's on a ledge, apparently, by a mission intel pad before the central control. Shooting two hidden switches over the vessel blue team observes will cause 8 Banshees to fly out of it, which will be there after passing through the data center. So that's kind of weird. There's a poster stating authorized for use so long as it's super secret only stuff. That apparently can be found at various hard to reach areas in the level. Mm-hmm. A Banshee Ultra can be spawned by activating a hidden alien figurine along a pipe at the reactor cooling center.
Wait, do you get to pilot the Banshee Ultra?
The player can hijack it, since the Banshee does not attack, which is interesting.
Banshee Ultras are pretty sweet.
It can only be activated on solo. There's a few random kind of glitches and stuff like that. A lot of it's around the Hunter Bridge sequence and playing it on co-op and stuff like that. There's kind of ways to avoid that, apparently, and breaking that kind of that cutscene and how it plays. Apparently, one of them... If you kill yourself just as the player activates the Hunter cutscene, a clone of the Spartan will be created when the gameplay resumes. The clone will have no AI, be invincible, and will not be noticed by enemies, which is kind of weird.
Hmm.
So there you go. It will also appear in the end cutscene if you bring the clone all the way to the hangar, which is like a crazy effort.
People are nuts.
I guess the opening cutscene, obviously said, was first revealed as a trailer on September 20th. So they released both the opening Osiris and blue team trailers before the game was launched. Like I said, skipping the first Hunter fight gets you that achievement. And what I was going to say is, There is no explanation in the level for what caused Argent Moon to end up in the condition or the experiments being conducted there. So it's kind of, you have the data passes, like four or five of them, the logs of telling you kind of what happened. There's, they were researching eight. A weapon, they got it to work, and then it kind of opened
up. Krista knows there's eight.
Okay, there's eight. Halo Retribution reveals that there was a bioweapon program set up by Intrepid AI, which is a Forerunner AI, in 2553. Blue Team and Veda Lopez Ferrets had foiled it during Operation Retribution, but Intrepid AI was able to avoid discovery and continue what is called Project Sleeping Star on Argent Moon undetected. The escape of the asteroid and meteorite, I think it's just himself essentially, but the escape of the bioweapon caused Argent Moon's state during the game. So essentially that bioweapon got released as he was escaping. Mm. And that's pretty much what sent the station in this condition, which Krista will cover in the next piece. So there you go. So that was cool. I liked the book linking back in Argent Moon because it seems like a cool place. Like obviously an Oni secret lab that's just mobile space station building weapons and crazy stuff. That's interesting. That's fascinating. That's what you want. Let's go.
I missed the skull, and it's in the reactor room. You get to climb way up top, and you ground pound the floor, and you drop down into a room, and the skull is in there. So that skull is the black guy. The one in the previous mission, I think I misstated, is the I would have been your daddy. So the kind of rare dialogue. So that's found in the first mission, which is kind of cool. You can find that, and then you get the more the rare dialogue right away out of the beginning of the game, which is cool. Krista, would you like to take us through the eight pieces of intel?
Okay. So the first one is talking about compound asteroidea. 59B results observed. While the subjects were sickened, they all recovered with no recorded fatalities. And we need to make this more toxic, because that sounds like a good idea. The second one is the compound asteroidea 61F has been observed while observed. They observed the subjects. It was .. satisfactory. LD50 level was not quite adequate, though. They need to maximize the efficiency. Let's make it really, really deadly. It'll be fun. Yeah. We'll have a very good time.
Real bad.
So this is Asteroidea 472A, and now we have sufficient morbidity. People are dying. People are dying just enough for us now.
Oh God.
Having said that, they're experimenting on jackals.
Yeah, probably.
They're not.
Well,
people.
You can see like the test subjects in the lab when you fight the hunters. They're like jackals all in these containers, and they're all fucked up.
Oh.
It's cool.
Crazy.
And so they said they had adequate LD50, which I'm guessing is just one of the compounds in it, but they want to shorten its half-life.
No, that's a real thing. LD50 is a terminology used for like what the lethal dose is that would kill 50% of subjects.
Okay.
That's just a thing I know from my job. For like all kind of chemical compounds and
stuff
like that.
What's your job, David?
He's Dr. Halsey. It's fine. I'm not sure if you've noticed. Totally he has cool. like a he has like a science jacket and everything.
I do have a science jacket. But yeah, that's what LD50 is.
But they want to shorten the half-life, so it won't be as deadly for as long, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. It'll die out fast but be virulent for when it is active. It's what you want, essentially, so it doesn't persist.
So you can go in and loot the bodies.
Yes.
So the next one is, this is Rooker, ship AI of Argent Moon, recording this as a warning to any Oni personnel who try to reclaim Argent Moon. Her air is not safe for humans to breathe. I repeat, her air is unsafe. Why would that happen? I wonder what? All right, the next one is, so this is also recorded by the Rooker, or RKR. Difficult to return. This is difficult for her to record. Her, I'm guessing it's a her, I don't know.
Thought it was a
whatever.
Dude.
I think it's a dude. Whatever. They say that they have 100% fatality rate from the Asteroidea incident. Those near the accident site almost died instantly, liquidized from the inside out. They were the lucky ones.
Oh my god.
The next one from Rooker is it was vaporized and quickly entered the air system. It slowly spread to the rest of the station. Symptoms took minutes or hours to arrive, depending on the distance from the epicenter. None of the crew escaped its effects. Hooray. Wow, this was a really good idea, guys. I love it. Well, we know that, like, the AI kind of implanted this test in here. So Intrepid Eye is just like, let's make the humans make deadly things so that I can eventually murder them all with it. Rooker, yes. The next one's from Rooker as well. They say that the following massive failure of containment protocols, I'm making the decision to quarantine the ship. I've set a course that will keep it clear of any inhabited systems and jettison what remains I can into open space. So they're like, peace, I'm leaving. This is why we haven't found this place in 2 years, because it's just way off, just kind of sitting there waiting for everything to decontaminate. This one's the last one. Rooker says that they are now 6 months past the expiration date. It's clear that I can't manage the station any longer, and I never could. And so I'm initiating final dispensation. And that's the end. So basically, they were.
Sad story.
It's really sad.
It's cool.
They were experimenting with some deadly compounds. Intrepid Eye made that compound, you know, explode or whatever, get released into the air, and then everyone died, and Intrepid Eye was able to yeet out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy. So that's good. I mean, that's some cool lore there. Yeah. Very interesting. All right, let's do some community stuff, and then we'll get out of here. David, what you got?
Yo.
What you got?
I have the community stuff.
What?
Colin, that's what I got. So Colin Barker's created yet another poll. This guy loves polls.
Love
you know
polls.
What I'm saying? Admin, October 4th, 3:55 p.m. Accolades, abilities, and personalities aside, which blue team member has the best lucky Mjolnir? Question for Mission Debrief 5, blue team mission. Interesting, Colin. And
yes.
Somewhat predictable results, shall we say. And I think the correct answer won. So John Woman 7 by a landslide won. Then we have Fred, Kelly, and Linda.
Boo.
Because Linda's helmet looks real dumb.
What?
Real dumb, Krista.
She's using... She's a sniper.
Like,
why wouldn't she have some kind of crazy
scopes? Can she have any
more
cameras and shit slapped to her head? Looks
Dude, she has to do her own spotting because she's a sniper. She doesn't have anyone spotting for her.
That's fine. But, like, she doesn't need, like, 7 spotters attached
she's
to her
also,
face.
Like, she also has, like, fine. You know, an Instagram, so she's got to record that shit.
Oh, whatever. Ian Francis says Fred's Centurion for the win. Jesse says I love the classic for John, Fred, Kelly, Linda. Most people went with that pretty much. Nick said Linda's armor is, and he did like the little symbol of a hand saying okay. Which is fine, like it's, you know what I mean, it's okay. Gwen said it's a tough toss up for me. Linda, Kelly, and Fred are just so on point. No shade to Chief, but I've seen our boy's armor for 5 games.
Hey.
Patrick says, Woman 7 all the way, simply because I've watched it evolve and adapt over the years, but the rest of Blue Team is super badass. Brad says, John took a while to grow on me, but now I feel that Halo 4 5 Chief is the best looking armor.
Oh.
So much better than the original motocross helmet that he had back in 2 or 3.
That's a hot take
right
there. Watch out.
That is a hot take,
That's
Brad.
Not good. He's Oof. Probably mad about Infinite going back to that style.
That's true. River says, I honestly love them all, but I'm going to have to go with Kelly.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Kelly. All right, Krista.
All right, you didn't do a poll, but it's the same question. The Deadman says Kelly, because blue is really nice color to look at, and the EVA helmet is the best helmet in the damn series. Rye says, I have to go with Chief's Mark VI. It's just too good. Axel says Kelly because she is bae. How dare you? I'm deleting that one. Here we go. There
Kelly's
we go. All
right.
I'm going to change it to Linda. Matthew says the Master Chief has the best looking armor in Blue Team. Kelly would be my second choice. UNSC Brexit says Fred because of the bulkiness. Matt Rebanished says Chief has the classic armor. Can't be beat. McMumble says Chief because deep down behind the visor, he is the most blue. But for real, probably Fred. <That's good. laughs> Physical Sky says, I really like Fred's armor. Centurion is one of my favorite designs. Ian replied to him saying, this is the correct answer. Third says, I love Kelly's armor because Kelly, but I have to give props to Linda's helmet design. Thank you, Third. I love you. I won't delete your comment. Dezuto says, Fred's Centurion is the balls. There we go. Yay!
Did that, Christo, is it Linda? Is she your favorite armor also?
I don't like the helmet as much. I like everything else. The bubble helmet looks really good on Kelly, but it's not something I would put on my own Spartan. And Fred's armor just kind of fits what Fred does. He's more of like the tanky guy out of all of them. Mm-hmm. So.
So which one's your favorite?
I don't know. I guess Linda, because I like Linda. I just don't like the helmet.
That wasn't the question. The question was take everything away. Just the armor.
Yeah, I guess Kelly. Which one's the best? Kelly's is really good. I like the slimmer armor in general. So, but that's just me. I like the slimmer kind of design.
How about you, David?
For the Mjolnir.
How about me? What in terms of armor design?
Yeah, which one do you like the best?
I need to look at them all again, right?
What?
I mean, I like Chief's, and I've always kind of liked Chief's armor. And in terms of like the helmet, like when I think armor, all I'm picturing are the helmets, to be honest.
Me too.
They're the
really.
Most iconic feature. I don't like the EVA. I never did. I think Linda's is real dumb. But
you better shut up,
because there's some real dumb Spartan helmets out there.
There are. Yeah.
I'm going to chew directly into the mic. That's the worst thing I can do.
Fred's is okay. I'm not mad about the Centurion stuff, but it's fine. So I'm always going to say Chief. I just like his design a bit better. I do like my bulky Spartans, so I'll give Fred a shout out for that.
It took me a while to get used to Linda's helmet, but it's grown on me. I've found myself, as I've been customizing my own Spartan, I found myself going towards the helmet that Kelly has, and I like Kelly in general, but like I think that that's a cool armor set, the bubble and the kind of the slimmer armor too. So that's my answer, Kelly.
Slimmer armor, boys.
Oh no, you like Kelly too, so we're good.
Yes, I like the slimmer armor.
Let's go.
It's good.
Yeah. All right, I think that's it. I think we're done. That'll do it for a debriefing of Blue Team from Halo 5. On the next episode, we'll be covering Glast. Send us your thoughts to podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. You can also support the show by visiting Podcast Evolved on Patreon. Until next time, Evolved.
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 Yay.
Nice.